Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
PHLY Eagles podcast on a Monday high noon. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman back in the saddle to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Get a little rookie camp roundup, take a bit of a step back and look at the offensive depth chart. What are the questions that linger? What are the things we need to worry about as the season looms, Zach? But it's a long loom. We're at the beginning now of the stretch before training camp. How you doing? How was your weekend?
Doing well. Happy to be here. Excited for the show. Excited for the week. This is the quieter portion, but the NFL always has stuff trickle out. I imagine the schedule is going to come out this week. I actually think they announced the schedule's coming out this week. They just didn't say the day.
Everybody thinks it's Thursday.
Everyone thinks it's Thursday. It's typically on a Thursday. Yeah. So if you notice our schedule, which I posted earlier, I have it, or our show is going to be 8 p.m. Thursday, assuming that's when the schedule is going to come out. There's news.
A little inside podcast there. Nice.
There's some news here and there. Actually, just before we came on the show, it's breaking that the Carolina Panthers are signing Rashad Penny.
Wow.
To join Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard.
I mean, if Rashad Penny goes to Carolina and has this great year, I think that would be very funny.
Well, they probably figured that last year they paid for the Eagles running back with a ton of production. So this year they're going for the one who has no production.
Right. And they also figured that if Rashad Penny signs early in free agency, he's not going to do anything. But if he lingers all the way until after the draft, then maybe he will do a lot.
Maybe so. And they took Jonathan Brooks in the second round. So I don't really know about Rashad Penny's chances, but I didn't mind Rashad. Always enjoyed talking to him when I did.
No shots at Rashad Penny from you. He's no Devontae Parker.
We will get the Devontae Parker spot on the depth chart on this show.
Precarious as far as you're concerned.
I'm not suggesting that. I mean, right now he's the top backup for AJ Brown, but there's a sixth round pick who's pushing him. That's for sure.
Good job on the show with Rich on Thursday.
Thank you. We missed you. But yeah, we held it down.
Good stuff. Love a mailbag.
So did the audience. So did the commenters on allphly.com.
Well, that's self-selecting, but okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. How's your weekend?
My weekend was nice. Yeah. I spent some quality time with the family. It's rainy. But I did grill on Friday night. Had terrific Butcher Box steak.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. Awesome.
What kind of steak?
It was really good. I thought it was a nice ribeye.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Enjoyed that.
Straight on the grill? What'd you do? And then you take it off the heat?
I put it on. I mean, I have a method for doing this. I don't need that.
Let's hear the method. Let's hear the Zach Berman method.
Yeah. So I put on high heat for 90 seconds each on each side.
Okay.
And then, I mean, depending on the thickness of the steak, then I do like a medium heat.
Indirect heat?
For like 3.5 minutes on each side.
Okay.
And then, that's about it.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Gotcha. And Emily, what's going on your seasoning?
It depends.
Emily seasons it?
Because if I season it, I put on the Montreal steak spice, which I like. It's kind of in my blood, right? But she's not as big a Montreal steak spice fan. So when I have the steak with her, which I did, it's just like a garlic, pepper, you know, salt, that kind of thing. Yeah. How was your weekend, more importantly?
It's good. I had a wedding down in the Outer Banks. It was fun. Long drive. Great time.
Nice. I've seen you at a wedding. You dominate the dance floor. Were you dominating the dance floor?
This is this narrative that you spout is...
It's true. It's,
first of all, based on one time.
And you were quite, the dancer.
I was part of the... It's part of your job as a good wedding guest to put out some stuff on the dance floor. To join the party.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, that's part of your job.
No, it's not.
Yeah, show up for the party.
Yeah, but I actually don't think, like, you don't want someone on the dance floor who's taking away from the, who's like not a good dancer.
No, but you want it to be a full dance floor.
But you don't want it to be too full either.
No, you do. Yeah,
no,
I think you do.
No. Yeah. You don't want it too full where people can't navigate.
You want
the floor.
Everybody to be having a good time at your party.
Sure, but sometimes you can have a good time, you know, chatting with, you know, the other husbands.
Yeah, but we know you don't like that either.
I mean, you're at a wedding. You can small talk sometimes. There's different things you can do. Yeah. But nonetheless, you're a very good dancer.
Well, not true, but thank you. Okay. What did happen this weekend, Zach, was mini camp for the rookie camp. You had a chance to hear from all of the 9 draft picks. What did you learn?
Yeah. So a few things that, I'll get into each of those picks. I received some questions from, the audience about like how players looked. And I just want to be transparent. We were only out there, the media, for opening, you know, for the warm-up period on Friday. We weren't able to watch the entire practice. It would be disingenuous for me to say, I really like the way so-and-so looked, right? Because I just saw them running around. Now, you saw them in jersey numbers. You saw who wasn't participating. So from a participation perspective, Anaya Smith was not participating, right? He's still recovering from his injury. Cooper DeJean, Will Shipley, both participating, right? So that stands out. A.J. Brown was watching practice. Jordan Mailata was there too. I did not see Jordan Mailata. They officially announced all their undrafted free agents. They had a few high profile tryout players, including John Ross, Jakeem Grant, Terrell Burgess, and Shaq Quarterman.
Yes.
So some established veterans there. John Ross, of course, a former 9th overall pick 2017, someone who the Eagles were interested in that draft. But we also had a chance to speak to all eight draft picks, not all 8 rookies, because there were other undrafted rookies, and Nick Sirianni. And so just a quick note from each of these guys, okay? Quinyon Mitchell, who if you guys saw the behind-the-scenes footage that the Eagles put out last week, and they had really good footage, Darius or Howie Roseman said he wants him to live next to Slay. He wants him to sleep next to Slay. And Quinyon Mitchell's response is...
Other people got to ask about that.
Quinyon Mitchell's response is, I'll live with him. I'll be his roommate. And I asked Quinyon about that. And he said, if Slay wants him to live there, he will. You know, he's got to run that by Slay. He had a good night at the Sixers game, got exposed to the Philly fans. He went with Cooper DeJean. Him and Cooper have had this kind of relationship, throughout the draft process. Quinyon Mitchell watched his tape. Quinyon drove to Philly from Toledo in his Honda Accord. And he was staring at the mountains along the way, visualizing kind of what's ahead. So there's your quick Quinyon Mitchell note. Cooper DeJean, it was his first practice since November. He was pumped to be out on the field. Like, he's trained for the combine and whatnot, but he hasn't actually played football since November. So, you know, that was the exciting part of the first day of camp for him. If you guys saw the footage, and I'll have more on this on allphly.com, of when the Eagles were on the or trying to trade up for the Gene, the Rams jumped right in front of them, one spot ahead, make a trade with the Panthers. And in the Eagles draft room, they thought that was for the Gene. It turns out the Gene did not have much contact with the Rams. Mm. He didn't think the Rams were a place he was going to go. He was hoping he would go to Philly. Was happy how that all worked out. Jalix Hunt.
Quickly on Cooper DeJean, I know the note is in your story on allphly.com, but where was he practicing?
He said, because he, I'm glad you asked, him and Quinyon we spoke to after practice, the other guys we spoke to before. So he said he played all over. during his first practice. He wasn't just in one spot. Of course, I didn't get to watch that.
Also,
but that's
the
what
first practice of rookie camp, like is, you may not even have a designated position. They're just like lots of individual drills and stuff and scheme talk. Yeah. But yeah.
So Jalex Hunt, you made a that phone call caught some attention. Saw Howie Roseman talked about it.
Yeah.
Now my goal was to ask about that phone call without actually saying that, because look, this stuff's recorded. I don't want like. Misa, I can't pull it off as craftily.
Don't take yourself so seriously.
As Jalex Hunt
cares.
I can't pull
say
it off
it as if you're just craft, quoting.
As
you're,
craftily as Jalex Hunt could, anyways. so yeah, he said that's not typically the way he handles his business, but it was the excitement of the moment.
Okay.
Right? He was laughing about that. I asked him what perspective he has on like being in the NFL that someone from like his college background would appreciate that the other guys, you know, might not fully appreciate. And his answer was equipment managers. He's never had a full-time equipment manager in his life.
Oh, interesting.
So he's like, they'll just get you anything.
You know? That's great.
So it's funny because like at Alabama, Georgia, you know, that's no different to them. But you can probably realize someone from Houston Christian, they get an equipment manager. Greg D it's like the coolest thing in the world. You know, I need such and such. Oh, here you go. We got that for you. You know, you need this t-shirt, you need this pad. Yeah. Will Shipley's been to Philly quite a bit, because his brother played lacrosse at Penn. A matter of fact, Will was going to the Ivy League championship game, I believe it was on Friday night. You know, he's been smiling ever since he was drafted, he said. So he's happy to be in Philly. I'll have more on Will Shipley there too. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Then the numbers came out. So a lot of these numbers are subject to change.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the numbers.
Yeah,
in a sec,
so like for instance, let's say in theory Zach McPherson's not on the Eagles roster this year. He might be. He might not be. Quinyon Mitchell could switch from 30 to 27.
But as a first-round pick, he's going to have to pay for that. He's going to have to buy back the jerseys.
Unless
right?
they don't put his jersey on sale. Until they could wait.
Is that what they do? They're not going to sell their first-round pick's jersey until gets cut?
I don't know the
Seems
answer to that.
Seems kind of crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, if he changed his number, he would have to pay for all the inventory that they have. So
that's tough.
So the Eagles could like be anticipating this and hold it back. I don't know.
How it works?
What's that?
The Eagles get to decide whether they're going to put the first round pick's jersey on sale or not.
Well, I mean, the Fanatics,
they
Eagles.
Don't you have to print it anyway? Like, this is a supply and demand issue.
Well, you can't just go onto the site and buy like Dylan McMahon's jersey, right? That's my point. So they can determine whose jerseys are for sale.
Well, I know, but they're really going to not put the first round pick's jersey for sale.
I imagine they will. Yeah, so Mitchell can keep 30. But I was just using that point as a way. We'll get to the numbers.
30 is a terrible number for him.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Well, there's no numbers in the 20s
Stock
available.
Down on Quinyon Mitchell.
There's no numbers in the 20s available.
Well, I know, but that's
what number would you want him to wear?
He should be in 27.
He can't go to Zach McPherson and be like,
yes, they can.
Then what about all the Zach McPherson jerseys out there?
Not a lot.
Anyways, we'll get to the numbers. What I was trying to say is Jeremiah Trotter Jr., that number won't be changing, I imagine. 54.
Yeah.
So if you have a Jeremiah Trotter jersey from 20 years ago, that thing's back in style these days, right? Now, this year might have Trotter Jr. on the back, but you have 54 Trotter. He said that it was just kind of understood. You know, he went in there and they had 5'4 ready for him, right, when they were talking numbers. But, you know, there was a line, actually, Jeremiah Trotter Sr. was quoted by Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com as saying that his son, you know, can save money on rent. So I asked Trot Jr. about that. He said, yes, he is living at home.
Really?
Yeah, he's gonna save that money.
Interesting.
Yep, he's going to live at home, and he, you know, he knows his way around the facility. I asked him about that phone call with Jeffrey Lurie, and he said it was real emotional for him, too, like knowing how much that moment meant to the organization and them who knew his father and knew his mother. Trevor Keegan. I should go with Anaya Smith first. Anaya Smith was ahead of – he was also ahead of Trotter. I jumped there. Anaya Smith still recovering. Learned some tricks of the
trade. From what?
He had a foot injury before the draft. I don't have the exact foot injury here, but
just so the people know what body part we're dealing with.
Yeah. But Enjoy talking to Anaya Smith. Excited for the kickoff rules. He was speaking with Jakeem Grant about some longevity, you know, about longevity in the NFL. His father played in the CFL, and he heard some tips from his father about kind of how to survive in the league.
Stress fracture in his left shin according to Dan Brugler.
Thanks, Dan. Smith also said that, I was doing some research on Smith this weekend. He has a cool YouTube page that when you finish subscribing to our page, I hope everyone's subscribing, you can check out his page. He actually had a behind the scenes from his visit to Philly, which was cool, from his top 30 visit to Philly. They didn't let him tape inside the facility other than the cafeteria, but he was working out in the gym. Do you know what wide receiver was on a 30 visit with him?
Johnny Wilson.
No, Xavier Legette. They were working out in the gym together. So interesting piece of info there. Trevor Keegan. There's a lot of talk about whether Trevor Keegan can play from left side to the right side. He said in his post-draft call that him and Zach Zinter would switch sometimes, and he's been taking snaps. But did you know that Trevor Keegan is ambidextrous? So if you all remember Andre Dillard, was it Andre Dillard who used the toothbrushing analogy? Try brushing your teeth with your right hand?
Jordan, am I allowed to use the wiping
your butt analogy? Yes. Yeah. Trevor Keegan, he left and right, doesn't matter to him. He's good.
So you won't say big pimping on a mic, but you will say wiping your butt.
I just kind of want to avoid your analysis of me saying such a term. So that's all. Yeah. Johnny Wilson, there's been no talk moving him to tight end. But when he talked about kind of...
Although the number 89 might beg to differ with that.
Well, there's no numbers in the teens for him either. So, but speaking of numbers in the teens, what player do you think Johnny Wilson...
Is it Drake? Oh, sorry.
I don't understand the joke.
That's okay.
What player do you think
thank
Johnny...
You. Thank you, Bree.
What player do you think Johnny Wilson...
Very hip. Very up on the stuff.
You seem that way. I know there was competing albums that came out the other night. But
close enough. Yeah.
I didn't listen.
That's okay.
Okay. Was there not competing albums?
They're not albums.
Okay. All right. What's the term? Songs?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Drops.
Sure.
Competing drops. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. What player do you think Johnny Wilson looked up to, modeled himself after?
Harold Carmichael.
How did you know?
I didn't know. I just figured a tall wide receiver.
Yeah, so Johnny Wilson.
From right over there.
Johnny Wilson, he knows the fan base, Harold Carmichael and Alshon Jeffrey, guys he's looked up to. I did ask him the Bo Wolf question. What did you and Howie Roseman talk about on that walk around the field?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Personal stuff between him and Howie. Yes. Okay. Talked about their lives and stuff like that. Yeah. And then Dylan McMahon met Jason Kelsey in Howie Roseman's office the other night.
Really?
Yeah.
And now we're talking.
You know what the pickup line was from Jason Kelsey?
Are you from Knoxville?
No.
Because you're the only 10 I see.
It's a good one there.
Okay.
Would have probably killed it in eighth grade, right? Dylan McMahon... was in there. Jason Kelsey said, undersized center.
That was it.
that was how they kicked off their conversation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He got Jason Kelsey's number.
Nice.
And, you know, he doesn't
want to. They're giving Kelsey's number away already?
No, he got Jason Kelsey's phone number. And Kelsey said, reach out, you know, reach out whenever. And Dylan McMahon's trying to kind of.
Yeah, that's an awkward thing.
Yeah.
Because you're not in the building with the guy. So you can't just shadow him. But. And also, he's like the biggest celebrity in the city. So, but he's offering. That's a tough dance.
Also, a little behind the scenes there that Jason Kelsey's just hanging around the Eagles facility on a Thursday night in May. So good to see.
Undersized center, sixth round pick,
still affiliated,
future Hall of Famer. It's all
191, 190. Yeah. They were pick 190, pick 191. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's other connections that you can soon learn more about as well.
Okay.
So that's your rundown. And then the last thing, when we went through the undrafted free agents, we talked about the ones that were reported, but there was still one left.
Yes.
And that one left that came out, you know how I am with.
Yeah, let's see how you do here.
Okay. Let me pull it up. He's
coming in at 6'5", 318. From the country and continent of Australia.
Here you go. Lakin Avakali.
You know, you could have just let me do it.
Yes.
Yeah. You have the actual...
I have the name here. I don't have the pronunciation.
Okay. I believe it's Lakin Vakalahi.
Yeah. There you go. Lakin Vakalahi.
I mean, it's not... It's just how it's spelled.
Okay. I'm sorry.
What's tripping you up?
Bo, I am sorry here. I'm giving you some information. Good information.
Okay,
anyways,
what's the information
from
on
ESPN
LB?
Australia. 6'5", 318 pound, 21-year-old from Brisbane. Never played American football. He played junior league football. Spent the past 2 years on a mission trip. He was on. His father was on a vacation, I believe, in Hawaii or a trip in Hawaii. And the Eagles have an international scout, former first round pick, Chris Naoli.
Yes.
Who they were kind of connected and heard about this guy. Yeah, Vakalahi was
Vakalahi.
Yes, thank you, Vakalahi. It was training at the same facility as Daniel Fa'alele in Australia. Yeah, an athletic performance center. So this is a Jordan Mailata type project. Now, not every,
but it is like even degrees more difficult because Mailata had the year at IMG, right? Yeah. Vakalahi has never even done that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mailata
like
had.
It's a great like. The romanticism of scouting, sure. like just happened to come upon this guy on vacation. It's kind of cool.
I mean, 35-inch arms and an 83-inch wingspan. And this information, by the way, is from ESPN Australia. They did a good job at a story there. So that kind of rounds out the class. And then the last transaction news is LaRaven Clark went on IR. So they have a roster spot from LaRaven Clark that now the Eagles have. And I should say Lakin is part of the International Pathway Program, so he does not count against the 90-man roster. So the Eagles have two roster spots available that they can, in theory, use
on. And the IR and the 90-man is a new rule, right? That didn't used to be the case. If you put a guy on IR, it's still counted against the 90, I believe.
No, if you put a guy on IR.
I'm saying, but that's it's new. That rule has changed, I believe.
No, they're out for the season.
Right.
The change now is you can designate a player you put on IR for return.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I thought it's still...
For instance, if you put a guy on IR during training camp,
right,
you open a spot on your 90-man roster. That guy just can't come back for the season.
Right.
So now I think you can designate...
Come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, the reason why you would put a guy on IR now is to open up a roster spot. If a guy had... In the past, if a player got hurt but had a chance to return for the season, you wouldn't put him on IR this time of year.
Okay.
The Eagles have two spots. It could go to a tryout player, or could go to someone on the open market.
Okay, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Quinion Mitchell, 30.
Yes.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, but there's no numbers available. That's the thing. You'd have to displace somebody.
I'm just talking about aesthetically, these guys and these numbers. That's not good.
Okay.
Him in 30? That's not. We don't want that.
I mean, as Jason Kelsey would tell you, the player makes the number.
Yeah, but that's not great.
Okay. Keep going.
Cooper DeJean, 33.
Fine with that. He wore 3 in college.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little on the nose with Larry Bird, right? But
3's not available. He wore 3 in college, so 3.
I think it works. It works. But I also think it makes you you can see it more in the middle of the field and on the outside.
That's more of a safety number in your eyes.
Yeah, or even a nickel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jalik Hunt, 58. Very nice.
Trent Cole fans are pumped.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up on
Hunt
that one.
And Cole. Right?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Will Shipley, 39.
Yeah.
Might not make the roster.
No, that's one that's going to change unless there's a big surge of Will Shipley jersey sales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ania Smith, 82. Not bad. Yeah. I mean, he's like, there's some Alameda Zacchaeus connectivity there, right?
Alameda Zacchaeus didn't wear 82. No, he wore 13. But there is Torrey Smith, and he almost won a Super Bowl with an 82 wearing Smith.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good. Trevor Keegan, 79. Solid. Mm-hmm. Rock solid. Johnny Wilson, 89. Again, that's got to presage the move to tight end.
I actually like that for a big-bodied receiver.
I like it too, but he's clearly going to move to tight end with an 89. Yeah. Dylan McMahon, 63. Thumbs up. Love it. Home run. Quickly, Gottlieb Ayedje, 61. Okay. We can get with that. McCallum Castles, 43. I mean, what is he, a fullback? I mean, come on.
Again, no numbers available.
Aneem Dankwa. Well, yeah, but they still haven't allocated them.
Okay.
Aneem Dankwa, 75, going to make the team. Gabe Hall, 96.
Okay.
Going to make the team. Kendall Milton, 36. No thanks. Andre Sam, 35. I actually think for Andre Sam, that might not be so bad. And then for Laik and Vakalahi, 67. I'd like to see him with a seven starting, but that's okay.
So on the number thing, actually, one of the reasons why a premium cornerback number was not available is Eli Ricks changed. He changed from a 39 last year to 23. He claimed
they can't let him
he
do
claimed
that.
23 before.
Yeah. They can't let him do that. Eli, you gotta be like, Eli, my man, we love you, but we got to see how the draft plays
so,
out.
So here, but we also have all the new players. We'll just do this quickly. Kenny Pickett, number 7.
Fine.
Okay. CJ Gardner-Johnson, number 8.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker gets 13.
I know that makes you angry.
Will Greer gets 16. So 16 is going to open. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 23, Eli Ricks. 26, Saquon Barkley. 31, Tyler Hall. 34, Isaiah Rodgers. 35, Tyron Davis Price. 42, Warren Burks. 45, Devin White. Because of Devin White's 45, now Rick Lovato is 49. Okay, Jacob Harris and Terrell Lewis are...
Wait, so 40. see how easy they did that with Rick Lovato?
Yes, yeah.
They could have done the same thing with Zach McPherson.
They could have done that. You're right. They could have done that. Devin White might have paid. Who knows?
Okay.
Julian Okwara, 52. Zach Bond, 53. Matt Hennessy, 77. I know there was a report out that he's 76, but my understanding is Becton is 76.
Oh, yeah,
we
got to get
moment.
That right. That's...
Unless that changes. PJ Mustafa, 78. Paris Campbell, 80. EJ Jenkins, 84. CJ Uzama gets 87. Austin Watkins was an 89, but I think he switched after I posted this. And then Moro Ojimo switched to a number in the 90s as well.
We got Brandon Lee Gouten in the chat, himself a number fan. He says 79 underrated, Brandon Brooks and Todd Harriman's lineage. That's pretty good. And okay. He agrees that 89 on a big receiver is a good one. So there you go. Thank you to BLG for being with us today.
Absolutely.
Also with us today, our friends at BetParks, because we are brought to you by the BetParks app, and you can get in the zone with the BetParks Sportsbook app. The money is in the moments. You know, there's not that many events coming up in Philadelphia sports now that the Sixers are done, but you still got the Phillies playing at 4 o'clock today. You got the rest of the NBA playoffs. And if you're trying to decide like how can I get into the NBA? Like, am I going to have any juice for these games now that the Sixers are out? Well, yeah, maybe put a little lettuce on it, watch, see who falls behind in the first half and then bet on them to win the game. Cause you never go wrong that way. Win big with all day action. Win your first $10 bet and earn $125 in sports bonus bets. You play for fun. You love to win. You bet. Download the app and play along with us. Must be 21 or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know, a friend of mine works at Wawa. I was chatting with him on Saturday night, and I said, you know what I think one of the great new additions at Wawa is? Olipop. Because if you want the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and other botanical ingredients to support gut health, Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. It's available online and in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including the most recent launch at all Wawa stores. Olipop's debut in Wawa couldn't be more of a match made in heaven. A delicious, healthy drink meets a convenience store, both adored by a cult following. The two flavors you can find at Wawa are classic root beer and strawberry vanilla. But what you should know is there's so many other flavors, because Olipop has delicious and nostalgic flavors like vintage cola, classic root beer, orange squeeze, classic grape, strawberry vanilla, cream soda, and cherry cola. They also have Dr. Goodwin and a lemon lime flavor. That's also really good, and it's much lower in sugar than conventional sodas with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar from natural sources, no added sugar. Their vintage cola has just 2 grams of sugar as compared to the regular Coca-Cola, which has 39 grams of sugar. Use the code PHLY for 20% off your next Olipop order. The discount only applies to one-time orders, not to subscription orders. Olipop is sold online, drinkolipop.com, and on Amazon. It's available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff.
All right. Zach, let's talk a little bit about the depth chart. Take a step back and look at how things stand here as we enter the summer.
And maybe have some healthy debate.
Okay. What do you want to get angry about?
No, I actually think running back might be a debate for us, but let's get to it.
Well, let's talk about quarterback first. Yep. Let's work our way around. And obviously you've got Jalen Hurts at the top, Kenny Pickett, Tanner McKee, Will Greer. My one pressing question here is, between Kenny Pickett and Kenny Gainwell, who do you think is more likely to be like, I'm an adult now, call me Ken or Kenneth?
Well, I would imagine Gainwell, because he actually goes by Kenneth in the media guide, right?
Yes.
You call him Kenny, but formally he's Kenneth. Kenny Pickett is just...
Yes, he can.
He just goes by Kenny.
Yeah, but I feel like at some point he's going to be like, I gotta leave the childish stuff behind. I'm Ken Pickett now.
Maybe so. I'm coming Kenny Pickett, so I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no real, even like, you know, roster-wise, depth-wise, this seems pretty cut and dried. Like, Will Greer is here to throw the ball with the fours on certain days, but this has got to be Tanner McKee as the three and Kenny Pickett as the two.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Will Greer, from my understanding, is really here to kind of help introduce the offense, right? So he'll get throws here and there. He'll get some preseason action. But he's not going to make the team. They did have a tryout quarterback, Blake Sennstrom from Princeton. But the Eagles have their four quarterbacks right here.
There you go. All right. Running back. Get ready for some healthy debate, because here it comes. You've got Saquon Barkley at the top. Now, I believe that Saquon Barkley will be the Eagles' lead running back. Zach, you disagree.
I think Saquon is the lead running back, yes. Okay. And a darn good one at that.
The rest, Kenny Gainwell, Will Shipley, Tyrion Davis Price, the former third-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers, Lou Nichols, love an L-E-W, and Kendall Milton, the undrafted running back from Georgia. I guess you're assuming that Shipley's the two. That's the debate that you want to have?
Yeah, I think Shipley's going to push for the second spot, and I think he's going to get it.
Okay, why?
Well, first off, fourth-round pick, someone that the Eagles clearly targeted. I think the versatility that he has, I think the ability to catch the ball. And I like Kenny Gainwell, but Kenny Gainwell's had 3 years here to kind of show that he can be more of a threat in the passing game. And Shipley's done that. I mean, Barkley's going to get...
But don't you think that's a function of the offense and not Kenny Gainwell problem?
Maybe so, but when you were watching it, did you think he was a threat in the passing game?
I think he is a threat in the pass. I think he can catch the ball.
Okay.
I just don't think that they do that in this offense, and they keep telling us that it's coming. Now, this is going to be a different offense. Sure. And so if it comes, it doesn't have to necessarily be Shipley. Yeah. I think it could be Gainwell. And I also think they're going to be playing Saquon Barkley 80% of the snaps.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, that's part of the appeal, and part of the reason to pay him so much is that he can stay on the field on third down, right?
Absolutely. You know, and they've even said, like, this is going to be a 270, you know, carry or touch player. Now, if Saquon goes down, I guess this is where the second running back, if Saquon goes down,
that's true.
Who gets the majority of the work, Shipley or Gainwell?
I have seen so much evidence that Nick Sirianni loves Kenny Gainwell, sometimes to like the detriment of what everybody else sees, that I find it hard to believe that Shipley would just take that job from him. But it's not crazy.
Yeah, fourth round pick is, I mean, that's good draft capital for a running back. The Eagles... Well, Gainwell was a fifth round pick. Pumphrey was late fourth. Fourth round is fairly high. I mean, outside of Miles Sanders, that's the highest Eagles have drafted a running back in quite some time.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that showed. Now we'll see in training camp, but I think the Eagles like Will Shipley more than the public does.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. That's by definition they like him more than.
Well, they like him more than the rest of the team does. No, but I'm saying I read everything, and I listen to everything.
It's true.
And the pick that kind of has gotten questioned the most has been Will Shipley. And to me, I mean, Howie Roseman was on. See, I watched him on McAfee. I watched him on Rich Eisen, which I listened to him on Sirius XM. I think it was on Rich Eisen where he said that he gets excited. He got excited with Will Shipley when... There's an underclassman who declares, who I guess like they don't have reports on yet, and he gets to write the first report.
Oh, interesting.
He said he felt like he wrote the first report on Shipley.
Well, this seems like a terrible signal. The reason they like him is because Howie got to write the first report.
No. Like, I'm saying Howie was excited about that.
Yeah, but that seems like terrible process. Of course he's excited about the guy who gets to write the first report on. He's waiting, he's overweighting the grade.
Well, Howie and Nick have both used this term with Shipley, just an all-American guy. And I'm
man, do I hate that.
I'm like, sell me on his athletic ability. Sell me on his versatility. Sell me on the fact that he was able to be productive
like
multiple
drafting
ways.
Jimmy Chitwood.
Don't sell me on the fact that he's like, he's this 4.0 student who is like
if there's anyone who want to take your daughter, it would be.
Actually,
I don't like that at all.
Actually, a shout out to Jeff McClain from The Inquirer. He had a podcast on undrafted rookies, and he had this line in there. It was about Reed Blankenship, and he's like, if there's anyone who you would want to date your daughter, it's Reed Blankenship. Just ask Scott Schaefer, because he's dating Scott Schaefer's daughter, and Scott Schaefer was the defensive coordinator at the time. I thought it was like a good device that he used there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
I think you're right that the bigger concern here is if Saquon misses time, who is it? Now, let me ask you this. Do you think they carry a fourth?
Ooh. I guess I need to see kind of the return situation and how...
They've got so many returners.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like if they're not carrying Covey for return purposes, then I think they could keep four running backs, right? But if they go deeper... Like, I don't think they're going to go deep at tight end. I mean, if they go deeper, if you're looking at the skill spots, they can go deeper at wide receiver, but it wouldn't be Covey just from a receiving perspective. Would it go like Covey would need to be a returner for you. But if you're using Shipley or you're using Anaya Smith or you're using Cooper DeJean or you're using Paris Campbell as a returner, then I think you could go deeper at running back. There's not one that jumps out, but Price Davis, like you said, was a former third round pick, and the Eagles were aggressive signing him off the 49ers practice squad to a futures deal.
I'm a little curious to see Lou Nichols too, a guy who was very productive in college, but then ran a 4.61 in the pre-draft process, spent a year with the Packers practice squad, and we'll see how he does. All right, let's talk tight end before we get to wide receiver. Tight end, you got Dallas Goedert at the top, CJ Uzomah, probably the presumptive number two over Grant Calcaterra. And then you've got Albert O in the mix, McCallum Castles, the undrafted rookie from Tennessee, E.J. Jenkins, and Noah Tongiai. I guess the questions here, you know, do they carry a fourth? And how does the pecking order with Uzomah and Calcaterra work out?
Yeah, I'm assuming right now Uzama's the second. If Uzama's not the second, I wouldn't carry him on the roster, right? Like, I would just go with Calcaterra and Albert O, but... I would imagine.
Well, I think he's there to block. I mean, you cannot.
Sure.
Albert O's not blocking, you know that. And Calcaterra is not a great blocker.
True.
And so you need a competent blocker there. So that's why he's here. I think he's the number two, but it's like it's sort of similar to last year where there are some packages where maybe it's Calcaterra over Uzomah.
But look, Dallas Goedert hasn't been able to stay like consistently healthy. So this is definitely a spot to watch here.
Yeah, and I think that if you were to look, you know, right guard's going to get all the attention, and right guard is the one spot where they don't have a definite starter on offense. But I think if you are worried about, like, real injury concerns, like where is a spot that could get sort of cratered, it might be tight end.
Howie, Donald Parham's just sitting out there for you to trade
Parham
for.
Parham watch continues.
Parham watch continues.
Love that. We're on day, I believe, 49 Parham watch. There's no way it's been that many days. It's probably been like 18 days.
No way. That was like March 10th or something. That was even before that. It's May 6th right now. It's almost been 2 months since free agency.
Maybe it is day 49. Maybe
time flies. Time flies when you're talking draft and talking free agency. Having fun as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith at the top. Maybe you're concerned about injuries there as well. And then this is probably, aside from right guard and like maybe how nickel works out, I think this is the most fun like thing to watch over the course of the summer, is how this race for the number three wide receiver shakes out. And there are really five competitors. Paris Campbell, Devontae Parker, hold Zach. We don't need the booze in studio. Anaya Smith, the fifth round pick, Johnny Wilson, the sixth round pick, and Britton Covey. Now you've also got Shaq Davis, Joseph Ngata, Austin Watkins, and Jacob Harris there. But I think this is really a five man race for what will be, you know, probably one job. Now maybe it's the kind of thing where it turns out that it's two guys and there's different types of roles.
Like yeah, exactly.
You've got Paris Campbell and Britton Covey and Ania Smith competing to be the slot guy, and Johnny Wilson exactly. and Devontae Parker competing to be the top backup on the outside. But if you had to guess right now, who would have the plurality of your turkeys for being the number three receiver in terms of targets over the course of the year?
Right now, I would say Paris Campbell. I think Paris Campbell would be my front runner to be the number three wide receiver, like the slot guy. But I think Anaya Smith's going to push him. I think they do like Anaya Smith quite a bit. Obviously, they drafted him above Johnny Wilson, right? Johnny Wilson kind of gets more of the attention because of the size. But Anaya Smith was a guy they targeted. I'm going with Paris Campbell here, given the experience in the league. But
you got
Paris
a little bit of guaranteed money, I think $450,000.
But Paris Campbell didn't do anything with the Giants last year, and the Giants were signing him, expecting him to do something.
Yes.
So I don't think that spot's set down. Britton Covey, when we had him on our show back at the Super Bowl, he mentioned that he wants to have more of a role in the offense this year. He's not just a punt returner. So maybe Covey can push for that slot job. I think I mean, barring injury, the slot receiver is going to get the third most targets. Now, there is a situation. I mean, Devontae Smith has been really productive in the slot.
Yes.
So if they like Devontae Parker, or even let's say Johnny Wilson shows something in camp and they are like, all right, let's put Smith in the slot and let's get Parker on the outside for jump balls. Let's get Johnny Wilson on the outside is just this size speed disadvantage, right? Then it changes the math. But if you have Brown and Smith on the outside, then I'm looking at Paris Campbell right now as my number three.
If you're following the money, that would make some sense. I do think you're right that Anaya Smith is pushing there. The one thing I will say is whether it's the offense or whether it's Jalen Hurts, we're going to see if this offense changes in terms of like the target distribution. Mm-hmm. And where those targets on the field are thrown. But if you're asking me to picture like the wide receiver who best fits the kinds of balls that Jalen Hurts likes to throw, I mean, it is Devontae Parker. Those like one-on-one shots on the outside where a guy might be covered and you're trusting the receiver and he puts it in a good spot. Like Devontae Parker, that's the thing that he can do. It's sure. not separate, but it's make those contested catches. Yeah. And so it's something that'll be, I don't know, worth watching over the course of the summer.
Well said. I agree.
And then maybe it turns out to be Johnny Wilson, but yeah, I don't know. I think that's like a really fun story over the course of the summer.
Yeah, and I mean in Parker and Wilson's, I don't want to say defense, but on their side, you saw during the futures deals, the Eagles were deliberate in adding big bodied players. So this is clearly like they felt a need to have bigger receivers as backups for AJ Brown.
There you go. All right. Well, Zach, today's real estate market is ultra competitive, just like the race for the number three wide receiver on the Eagles. And if you are a prospective home buyer, you are missing out on opportunities to win the perfect home. But why? Well, it's because you don't have Mortgage CS in your corner. It may be news to you, but the mortgage company you choose matters more than ever. Even if you are already in the market, you can still explore your options with Mortgage CS. This is home financing, not a marriage. You may be shocked at how much money you can save. Mortgage CS is an independent mortgage broker in the Philly area. This means they won't steer you just to one mortgage option or what's best for them. They work for you, not the banks. Ben and Alec at Mortgage CS will ensure you have a rock-solid pre-approval, and they'll take time to explore anything you want. You know why? Because that CS stands for concierge service. The real estate market is competitive, so you can rely on Mortgage CS to help you understand where you can be flexible in your offer to buy a home without taking on unnecessary risks. In the end, you will be so happy you texted Ben, the CEO of Mortgage CS, at 267-391-7425. There's a reason people win more with Mortgage CS, so call or text Ben now, once again, at 267-391-7425 and see for yourself. You can also go to mortgagecs.com/PHLY to check them out or view their 370-plus perfect five-star reviews by searching Mortgage CS right now. The advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS ID 1464766. Visit mortgagecs.com for more information.
I have on my screen in front of me ButcherBox notes. And I could tell you all these different notes, but the best thing I can tell you, well, I shouldn't say the best thing, but the best endorsement I can give is that I'm a customer, okay? I had a great piece of steak the other night from ButcherBox. And in my freezer, I can't wait for the next when it stops raining. I'm going to go out and grill, and I'm going to grill again some more ButcherBox meat, because this is easily high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef. They also have free organic chicken, pork raised that's crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. It's humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Now, what I loved about this, in addition to the quality of the meat, was the convenience, okay? I came home from work one day, and sitting right there on my front step was the ButcherBox. It's delivered right to your doorstep, free shipping, always, and curated to customized box plans. And then they have, it's incredible value. You get these high-quality meats at an amazing value with exclusive member deals and recipe inspirations, guides, and tips. ButcherBox is offering our listeners an amazing offer where new users get free meat plus $20 off your first box. Join today using our link butcherbox.com/PHLY and use code PHLY to receive this exclusive offer today before time runs out.
Zach, we have some news.
Ooh.
I believe Andrew DeCecco, the first to report, the Eagles have identified somebody from the weekend who popped as a rookie tryout player, and that is cornerback Sean Stevens from Ferris State,
okay,
who clocked a 4.3 40-yard dash at Michigan State's Pro Day, but is an old.
He is an old, okay.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting about it is he's a cousin of Joey Porter Jr.
I thought he was a nephew. Is it a cousin?
Nephew of Joey Porter, cousin of Joey Porter Jr.
Oh, see, nice.
Yeah, okay. I went with the guy who's playing now.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, we're a young and hip here at PHLY.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't need to talk about the old-timers. We got the guys who are on the active rosters.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Good work.
All right, let's talk offensive line depth chart. And there's a lot of guys here, and I think that's fun. Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Lane Johnson, you know. We expect that Tyler Steen, it's his job to lose at right guard. And if there is competition, it's probably coming from maybe Matt Hennessy, maybe Trevor Keegan, maybe Mekhi Becton. And Zach will ask you about what Nick Sirianni said about that today. You've got Fred Johnson and Mekhi Becton backing up at tackle. Keegan, we already talked about. Dylan McMahon at center. Hennessy, we talked about. And then that third level, you've got the Aneem Dankwa, Gottlieb Ayedje, undrafted free agents, Darian Kennard and Jason Poe, who were signed to futures deals, Brett Toth and LaRaven Clark, the injured LaRaven Clark, a familiar face, and then Laiken Vakalahi, who we also talked about.
Good job on the pronunciation.
Thanks. I think you're probably, 10?
Yeah.
Maybe 11, if you're borrowing from other spots.
Sure.
We'll see if people prove worth it, you know.
The undrafted guys.
Rostering as a guy to hold on to. But right guard, do you imagine that they're done there? Do you think this is what they're entering camp with? Or do you think they're still curious to maybe see if there's another option to compete at right guard?
Yeah, I think they'll continue looking around. Like I keep bringing up
Dalton Risner.
Yeah, no, I don't know that, but he's probably, if I had in my office, you know, a list of the best available, Becton would have been the top available tackle. They signed him. Risner would be the top available. Is it Risner or Risner?
I thought it was Risner, but okay. I could be wrong.
He would be my top available guard. And so if they wanted to go that route, they could. But I also thought from the start of the offseason, they should give Steen a chance to win this job. Now, I don't know how enamored they are with Steen's play last year, but Steen gets a full offseason now. And Matt Hennessy does give them that veteran depth. But I have Steen number one on my depth chart in front of me. Now, you mentioned Mekhi Becton. I did ask Nick Sirianni, is Mekhi Becton going to get a look at guard? And he said Mekhi Becton's he's going to start at tackle where he's played in his career, and they'll go from there. So that's not committing to only tackle, but they didn't bring him in.
That matters.
Yeah, they didn't bring him in expressly to play guard. They're going to take a look at him at tackle to start.
It is Risner, just to confirm.
Risner, you are correct. Per usual.
It's not about correct. It's about us getting it correct. It's not between us. It's not a competition.
No, but you were correct.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Do you think that Matt Hennessy is a real, like, competitor for right guard?
I don't. Well, look, I think he's kind of your default option, right? He started in the league. But I think Matt Hennessy, I mean, he said himself, he's better at center. Or he has more experience at center, I should say. So I also think that the Eagles like the bigger guards, especially when we spoke about this with Brandon Thorne. When you have a smaller center, and Cam Jurgens is a smaller center, right, relatively speaking, if you have that, you know, that 6'5", 330-pound guard next to you, which Steen is, which Dickerson is, it's a little different than if you're going with the, kind of more the center body. So I would give Steen the edge there from a body type perspective as well.
So let me ask you this then. Let's say it's not Steen.
Mm-hmm.
Who is most likely to take that job? Is it Becton? Is it Hennessy? Or is it Trevor Keegan?
Good point. Good question. I guess I would go Hennessy, because if you're not going with Steen, I imagine you're going with the experience of Hennessy. To me, it's like a Wisniewski situation, right? You're going with the guy who, all right, you can put him in. He's not going to be overwhelmed in the NFL game. Like, that's when they turn to Wisniewski. But Keegan, look, Keegan played 3 years on the best offense, or started 3 years in the best offensive line in college football. Becton, I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued by it. I would, if Becton can play there, I think you used a great term on last week's pod, a sun blocker, I think you called him, right? You know, you want him to be a defensive line blocker.
I think that'd be fun if he was the right guy.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. I mean, 25-year-old.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So, look, but I would think if you don't go with Steen, who was your third-round pick last year, who's going into year two in the system, then you probably lean toward experience, and experience is Hennessy.
Question is, who's your second-team offensive line from Steve in the chat? I think it's I would go Fred Johnson, left tackle, Trevor Keegan, left guard, Dylan McMahon at center, Matt Hennessy, right guard, Mekhi Becton at right tackle.
So you think Hennessy over? So you think McMahon will be the second team center and not Hennessy?
I think so, because Jason Poe is, I think, a pure center,
sure.
So he needs to be on the third team, and you want to get. I mean, I'm sure there's a rotation.
Yep.
But I think you know Hennessy can snap.
Sure.
And maybe he's the game day backup at right guard. So.
And do you think so? There's a difference between like second team offensive line and then top backup option, right?
Yes.
What do you think, Becton or Fred Johnson is the top backup? Is the top backup option
at left tackle?
Yeah,
it's a good question. I don't know.
I think Becton.
I think probably Becton. I mean, they're paying him money.
Has that full contract come out yet? I think the up to $5.5 million was doing
Does
some
work
there.
Work there yeah.
But I am curious to see. I mean Becton from my understanding was not thrilled with moving to the right side. But again, he's in a different situation now than when he's the first round pick. Right, he's coming here to kind of rejuvenate his career, but he's started left tackle in the league. I did like what I saw from Fred Johnson, both in camp and the preseason. And the Eagles,
you think Fred Johnson can play guard?
I'll defer to you. You're the resident O-line expert on the show.
Yeah, it's different because even though he is a huge guy, he's not as girthy as Mekhi Becton. So I am not sure that he could do it. Yeah.
Don't sleep on Fred Johnson,
but I don't know.
Even
I
if he's sleeping
possible.
In meetings. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Got that condition.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Zach. Good stuff on the depth chart. You had some roast thoughts that you wanted to get off before
yeah,
we left today.
Who caught? No, I'm speaking to the audience here, but because I asked Bo earlier, who caught the Tom Brady roast last night?
Okay, I watched anyone the first in the chat? Hour this morning. I'm still working my way through it.
Entertaining. Well, first off, my first non-Eagles thought is, I don't know why Tom Brady agreed to that. Now, it was entertaining from like my perspective, but what's he
getting? Through the first hour, about a third of the way through, a lot of Giselle stuff hitting him hard that he does not seem to appreciate.
Like,
and what did you make of him going up to Jeff Ross and saying, don't talk about like the craft massage stuff anymore?
I don't know.
That's
if
the thing of all the things. That's the thing that's off. Why do we need to protect the owner? Like,
I don't know.
He's the guy who needs to be protected. It's bizarre.
I could say it's like as a fan of comedy, there were some funny things in there. You know, I actually thought like, you know, Belichick was funny. I thought Peyton was funny. But
let me ask you a question. Do they ever get, it's a lot of the same beats being hit so far through the first hour. Are they ever going to get on him about HGH? Are there ever any allusions to, like, what are you doing?
There's allusions to supplements.
Okay.
Supplements to, taking a loan out that he didn't pay.
That's all good stuff. But let's not let the obvious juicing, whatever it is going on.
The Aaron Hernandez stuff. There's a lot of Aaron Hernandez stuff that comes. But anyways, from an Eagles perspective.
Of course, that's what it's all about.
Bill Belichick gets up there and says to Kevin Hart. Now, I heard it in real time as, can you save that chair or can you get me that chair in Philly?
Yes.
Or can you save me that chair in Philly? And then people all thought he said cheer, not chair. So I don't know.
Wasn't he complimenting the chair that he was sitting on? So
that's
definitely the chair.
But people said cheer. So that's why I deleted my tweet, because I actually got a few DMs that said he was saying cheer and not chair. But in any event,
whatever.
Regardless.
Either way,
regardless. I mean, he's openly joking about going to Philly.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're Nick Sirianni, a story comes out from and I'm not ripping on anyone else here, like the most credible magazine writers, like those two and Greg Bishop are from my perspective. When Seth Wickersham, Don Vannata, or Greg Bishop write a magazine story, or a long form piece, because magazines aren't, it's viewed differently now. That to me is like it's rock solid, it's vetted, it's so well reported. These guys are so connected. They're talking to so many people, right? So when this comes out that the Eagles were openly talking about Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick goes on a roast and literally says, like, keep this chair, this cheer for me in Philly. I mean, this is just looming. This is looming. And this isn't like the media making a big deal about it. Bill Belichick literally talked about it.
Yeah.
You have sometimes when coaches are asked about an opening and the coaches are, it's like the coach code. It's like, that job's not opening right now. That job's not open. I can't talk about that. Like, Bill Belichick's openly joking about this at a roast.
Yeah, at a roast.
At a roast. No, I get it. But I'm just saying, this is part of the conscience. This is part of the
consciousness. Absolutely. It's not going away.
Yeah.
Now, listen, like, if you're Nick Sirianni, you're head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, you got to have thick skin. Like, that's no surprise.
Exactly.
And you know that you're going to hear about this. But I mean, it is true. Like, if they lose two games in a row at some point, people are going to be saying, like, get Belichick in here.
Yeah.
It's not going away.
Yeah. And then Tom Brady had some choice words for Philly at the end.
Yeah, what he called Philly racist.
Yes.
Like, he plays in Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's true, it'd be like you guys eat too much beans.
Well, I think the and again, I don't know Tom Brady. I think it was trying to find a way to make fun of Kevin Hart. But then the greasing poles thing.
I didn't see that, actually.
Oh,
you want to deliver the line?
No, I can't. I can't deliver the line.
You're a fan of comedy.
It's a fan of comedy. Yes. I don't want to be like Michael Scott in that when he tries to imitate Chris Rock, right? Like, I'll let the people who deliver the lines deliver the lines. I found that to be kind of forced. But overall, it was funny. It was like the whole show. I appreciate that, and I admire that he has thick skin. I admire thick skin in people. I just don't know what's in it for Tom Brady. Like,
probably money.
But like, Tom Brady doesn't need more fame, is my point. So, I guess it's fun. Are you a roast guy?
I like a roast, but it's formulaic. But I like good ones.
But sometimes it's like you roast someone who wants to get back in the spotlight,
right?
Hey, Tom Brady. I kept wondering what's in this for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining nonetheless. And I thought, and I admire how like everyone was a good sport. Gronkowski, he's just fun. Like he's willing to laugh at himself. He's the butt of so many jokes.
Yeah.
And he didn't
seem to be laughing as much about the jokes about himself that I would have expected.
Okay.
Like the Alana Glazer line was very funny.
Yeah. So anyways, I thought the it was entertaining. I was getting a bunch of texts. Are you watching this? So people were clearly into it.
And Nick Berman had some trenchant thoughts.
I mean, actually, there's something tonight I'll be watching on Netflix as well. The John Mulaney Everyone's in LA. I think it's called, but Netflix is doing more live stuff. So
trying to follow our lead.
Trying to follow our lead. Yeah, you can watch it live.
Listen, Netflix, enough. Okay. If you want us, you're gonna have to pay.
Yeah. You can watch this show live at noon and tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And then Thursday at 8 o'clock, but otherwise at noon. And then you can, if you don't catch the live viewing, you can watch it. And trust me, I'm reading every comment. I'm reading all the reviews. I appreciate that. Try to take, there's some of these comments that I'm trying to apply. Like, all right, how can I work and how can I improve this? How can I improve that? There's other comments where I'm like, sorry, man, I can't help you there. So
there you go.
Yeah.
We don't need to get into the pizza shop thing right now.
No, we don't.
We're ready to hit it right at an hour. Yeah. So that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks to everybody for watching and listening to today's show. Back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we'll do the defensive depth chart overview and some other stuff, I'm sure. Make sure that you're subscribing to the YouTube page and all that good stuff. Evangelize about the show to all your friends and join us tomorrow. That'll do it for this episode of the PHLY Eagles podcast. Thank you to Bree for running things behind the scenes today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And as always, we love you.
We all silly like the mayor.